This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and is further outlined the rules of Part 97 and good amateur radio practice. The SCARS server is provided by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by KB9ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so that the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Stand by. Information regarding our operations may be found at scarswipe.com. I am your net control station to open this up, but there's going to be a cast of several net control stations in a roundtable format this evening. My name is David. I am located in the city of La Crosse, Wisconsin, with a current temperature of 49 degrees Fahrenheit. Prior to starting this net, I would like to ask if there's any emergency or priority traffic that needs to be, or anything else out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. Okay, nothing heard. Do we have anybody celebrating any birthdays, anniversaries, or anything else worth noting this evening? Okay, I guess nobody's aging this evening, so good evening on this again. This is the CIN. This is the monthly Thursday Information Net. A net open forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects. And tonight's subject is kind of near and dear to my heart. It's involving digital communications. Let's see here. Other areas of general interest might also be discussed with this net. To those participating, all are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And please note, this net will be recorded for a future podcast. At this time, I'm going to turn things over to Gordon, KY6P, who is going to get things rolling for us. Gordon, good evening to you. It's your turn, sir. KB9EWG.
Well, hey. Thank you, David. Appreciate the opening. I noticed that you're 49 degrees. I was just looking at Kathy's weather. You know, she's up in northern Michigan, right across the puddle from you, more or less, and she's at 35, if I can believe on what I'm seeing on the weather report from up there. So a little cooler on the eastern side of Lake Michigan, I guess. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming by. Tonight we are fortunate to have a group of guest speakers that are to answer your questions regarding the differences and operation considerations pertaining to the popular digital nodes and modes known as DMR, Fusion, D-Star, and P25. Now, this presentation will be run as a roundtable with Robert, VK2DY, down in Australia, Chief, W4RFJ in Pennsylvania, Dennis, KB9RRN, coming out of Indiana, and David, who you have just heard, KB9EWG, coming out of Wisconsin. They'll be answering the questions along with yours truly, Gordon, asking the questions and acting, if you will, as the moderator for this evening. So let me take a break and buy a nickel here. I'm looking at my marquee. Before we get started, I want to say good evening to the HAMS conference. I see that they are aboard. Robert, VK2DY, are you in that conglomerate coming in on HAMS, because I don't see you listed separately. Over.
Gordon, this is Robert, VK3DY. I've sort of got a bunch of things going on this morning. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I am here, VK2DY.
Okay, good. I thought maybe you were hiding under the umbrella of the HAMS conference down there. Very good. All right, guys and gals, we'll be taking questions and throwing them to the pool, to the roundtable experts, and get their answers and feels, and then we will be asking as we go along for audio and participation from the audience regarding to any questions regarding the subject matter that was just delivered or any other questions that you would like to pose to the group. So let's start with number one. And the first question that I have for starters, would you gentlemen on the roundtable be kind enough to explain in a general overview the differences in the four modes and who is the primary designer of each of the formats? And Robert, since I know you're there, I'm going to start with you. I see Chief is on line two, so I think we're lining up. I see two entries from Indiana, so I'll bet you Dennis is there, and we know that David's there, so I think the family is intact. Let me read that question again. For starters, would you gentlemen be kind enough to explain, in a general overview, the differences in the four modes and who is the primary designer for each of the formats? VK2DY, would you like to start that out, Robert? KY6V, over. He said things are a little busy in the background, so I don't know if he's got two or three things going on at once. VK2DY, did you copy my last, sir? Okay, let's come back to Robert. We'll see how that cookie is crumbling. W4RFJ, you with us, Chief? Would you like to respond to that as a starter?
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm trying to get my screen set up here so that I can follow along. Yeah, I'll be glad to. You want me to take one of them and then pass it back over to you?
Yeah, or you can hit them all briefly, however you want to handle it, sir. Go ahead.
All right. Well, sorry about that. I'm not even sure if I'm sending. Give me just a second. There I am. Okay. My apologies. I think I like to talk about DMR. DMR, we have DMR, D-Star, Fusion, P25. But DMR is not the oldest, but it's one of the first commercial digital modes. Digital mobile radio is what it stands for. And sometimes you'll hear it referred to as Moto Turbo. Actually, it's not even spelt that way. It's MOTOTRBO. And Moto Turbo is Motorola's implementation of the DMR protocol. DMR originated as a business communication standard in Europe, and it is important to note that it was created for commercial communications. This will help to explain some of its features. There are many manufacturers for radios of DMR, and they vary greatly in price. Me, I follow the amateur radio standard of free or cheaper. So I'll pass it back over to you, Captain, and let you share the load on this one. Over.
Yeah, I always am fond of that saying, you know, free or cheaper. That's the name of the game in my neighborhood also. Thank you very much on that, Roger. Let's pass it over to Dennis in Indiana and see if he'd like to make any more comments on that or the other modes as well, possibly. KB9RRN, KY6V.
KY6V and the net. Good evening, all. This is KB9RRN, Dennis, in Greenwood, Indiana. And, I would like to speak a little bit more on DMR. It's more than just hotspots and portable radios. There are quite a few wide-area DMR networks currently online. And also, I think it's important to mention that DMR repeaters can be used in a single-site, standalone, mixed-mode format. So you're not tied into any one network, and you can still have a single repeater that supports analog communications as well as digital. At least that's a feature of the Motorola XPR repeaters that I'm familiar with. So at this point, I'll just pass it back to you and let you carry on with it. And get back to me here as you wish. KY6V, KB9RRN.
Okay, very good. Boy, you are sounding just perfect here tonight. You've got that mic that you pulled out the other day just sounding absolutely super. Thank you, Dennis. Okay, I'll give one more shot for VK2DY, and if he's not ready yet, I'll throw it to you, David. VK2DY from KY6V, over. Okay, his wife must have got after him. I'm just kidding about that. David, go ahead. I was sitting back just before Net trying to remember if it was DMR that you just got involved in, or was it D-Star? I think it was DMR, but I'm not sure anymore. KY6V, go ahead, David.
Well, thank you, Gordon, and yeah, it was DMR that I recently got involved with. I picked up a radio, and since there are no DMR repeaters in my area, I did have to pick up a hotspot. But I had become active on DMR using my hotspot and my TYT radio. I also take the hotspot out with me and tether it to my phone and go mobile that way. And it works pretty well. It's pretty effective. One thing that wasn't mentioned is that DMR was originally as a business communication standard in Europe. It is important to note that it was created for commercial communications, that it will, that this will explain some of the features that there are many manufacturers of radios for DMR. But like I say, it was originally a business standard, as Keith pointed out, but it actually started in Europe originally. And Motor Turbo, as he said, you know, Motorola has adapted their version with the Motor Turbo. Also to mention, Gordon, I am starting to experiment with D-Star also, but I don't have a D-Star radio or use my hotspot. I've been using an app that's available called Peanut that I can use both on my cell phone and on my laptop here. So I have been playing with D-Star as well, but the primary digital mode I've been using has been DMR. So KB9EW, back to you there, Gordon.
Okay, well, thank you for that, David. If time permits, we might get into this Peanuts just a little bit further in the program and shed some more information of that avenue of attack that some people might be interested in trying as starters to get into the game. Okay, well, let me make a couple of comments on some of the notes that I had made. We pretty well covered DMR. Now, D-Star is the oldest of the group, guys and gals. It was created by the Japan Amateur Radio League, that's JARL, and is an open standard. It is important to note that it was created by for amateur radio. Now, most people relate ICOM with D-Star, as they have been the primary manufacturer of D-Star equipment. But again, the actual thrust and start of the D-Star technology came out of the Japan Amateur Radio League. As far as Fusion is concerned, it's the newest digital radio mode, apparently, in the group, from my understanding. It was designed by Yaesu, and it is not an open standard, so bear that in mind. Yaesu is the only manufacturer of radios for this mode, and Yaesu repeaters are true multi-mode capable and can replace an existing analog repeater while still providing digital communication. It can also transcode an incoming digital signal to analog, or an incoming analog to digital, or it can transmit what it receives, no matter if it is digital or analog. So, you know, it's AC, DC, and bipolar at the same time. And as far as P25, we'll get into that a little further in the program. Let me buy a nickel. But I will tell you that it was originally pulled together for emergency communication, supported by Homeland Security and some of the other folks that got their heads together and said, we need a little better way of communicating during an emergency condition, and that was sort of the crust that started the P-25 goings on. So we'll get into that in a little more detail. One more try for Robert down there, in case he's got any questions on that, and if not, or any comments, and we'll move along. VK2DY, did you get back with us, sir? Okay. Very strange to have somebody clip his antenna off. I hope he pulls out of the nosedive. All right. Let me open it up for any audience contribution. Say hi. Say hello. Tell me you're there. Any questions on what we've covered so far before we get into something and some other things a little deeper? This is KY6V for South Cars Ragchute, TIN, this evening. I'm calling it a Ragchute because it's a round table Ragchute. It's officially called our mid-month TIN program. Any takers would like to check in, call now, please.
November 5, Victor Alpha Bravo.
Okay, I've got November 5, Victor Alpha Bravo. Good evening, sir. Stand by one. There was somebody else I thought tried to get in, but I didn't quite copy very well. Would you try it again? Hey, Norm, I think that's you. ZL4NORM, is it? You're coming up on the marquee, but you sound like Mickey Mouse. The best way I can describe it, it's audio that's running four times faster than it should, and it just it's got the Mickey flavor. You want to try it one more time, Norm? Over.
Can ZL4 Charlie Echo Lima log in, please? And that's Norm with his Windows 10 audio, Captain, KY6V, ZL4, Charlie, Echo Lima listening.
Why, certainly. Hello, Terry. Windows 10 audio, huh? I'm running Windows 10. I hope I don't sound like that. Well, we'll figure out what's going on. Let me put you down here. I want to pick up the 5 first, Terry, and we'll be right with you. N5VAB. Good evening, KY6V in South Cars. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Good evening. I just happened upon the net. I'm out on my motorized bike and taking a break, shut everything down, and thought, I wonder if anybody's on the internet. Anyway, I'm running through a smartphone here, I think through the Ham Australia server, I think. I'm not sure where I'm at, but I heard the net going, so I listened for a few minutes. I was listening to the digital information talking, and I, by no choice, had to get out of ham radio for a while. I thought it was a big thing when I had an Echolink node. But at that time, they had just started, I think, Yaesu and ICOM had their own digital formats on their radios. It's been a while, and just here not long ago. Anyway, I got back into it here. Wow, and not much activity on the regular FM repeaters, but I know there's a lot of people doing digital, and there's so many different types of digital that I'm starting to learn about it. I don't want to have equipment where I can get on every digital mode, but I'm looking at eventually getting on one of them. So, appreciate you letting me check in. I'm just going to be listening, so maybe I can learn something. N5VAB in Cutting Sheet, Texas.
Okay, Lone Star State. Nice to have you, Alan. Well, great. That's the purpose of our program tonight, is to discuss some of the, you know, newer digital modes. And again, the four that we're going to be covering tonight are DMR, D-Star, Fusion, and P25. And it's normally based to get the interest level up with our membership, and for those that want to pursue digital a little further than they've gone so far, give them some ideas of how they can get started and what they might try, and some tips, you know, on going along with it. So, Alan, stand by. Any further questions, you just jump in any time, and we'd love to have you. Charlie Echo Lima. Terry, you rascal. You are amongst the those worried about New Zealand. And your name came up several times, and I told everybody that to the best of my knowledge that you were located down on the southern end of New Zealand, and far enough away for Christchurch that you would not have been involved in that, but I wasn't positive about that statement. So fill us in, Terry, KY6V, over.
KY6 Victor and the net, a very good evening, good afternoon from Mosgiel, which is about 400 kilometres for everybody's benefit south of Christchurch City. However, we haven't escaped everything, and fortunately we were mapped last Friday afternoon when somebody went crazy in Christchurch, as you well know. Fortunately, I am, and Norm's about 90 kilometres, that's ZL4NRM, about 90 kilometres south of me in a place called Kaga Point. You will have checked them out, no doubt, QRZ page and all, but we are luckily, although on high alert, luckily to be 100%, well, not 100% safe, because the man that talked to those people in Christchurch was down here, and he was at a rifle range not 40 minutes away from me, and they noticed some patterns of strange behaviour. 2 years he'd planned that, from information that I have from purely the media, so please, you know, if it's incorrect, accept my sincere apologies. However, for a couple of years he lived down here, and it was planned to take place here, Gordon, and fortunately it didn't. However, Dunedin's not out of the woods yet. But as we did back in 2011, sincerely appreciate South Cars being there, and it's good to hear your voice, my friend. KY6V. ZL4C, you're returning. That's that stupid phone of mine.
At least it's a friend of yours. Hey, thanks, Terry. It's so wonderful to hear your voice and have you chatting here on South Cars again. You know, it's been a long time, and you've been missed. Well, okay, it sounds like it was a little close for comfort now that we know more of the facts involved. So keep your right high and your eyes open, I guess, is the thing to say. Norm, I'll give you one more try here and see if you got Donald Duck out of your sound card. 4NORM, New Zealand, from KY6V, over.
Yeah, in the control, this is ZL4NORM. Yeah, I've just sacked Windows 10 and gone back to Android. It's my desktop computer, it's having some issues with the microphone, so I'll just make sure I'm coming through okay before I carry on.
Oh, you sound just like Norm. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for letting me in. Yeah, stupid technology, right? Yep. When it plays up, it plays up. Windows 10 seems to, every time you reboot the machine, has issues with the with the microphone. And I did that to me the other day. I took a couple of restarts and had to unplug and replug it in a couple of times to get it to play a game. But that's fun technology. Just stick to my good old Android phone. It works and does the job. So I'll stick with that.
Yeah, as far as digital, I haven't had much to do with digital yet, but I do have the Peanut app on my phone. I just got to get registered for, get it all registered and set up properly. It's another thing I just haven't got around to doing. And I've been playing with Terry's All-Star, trying to get that up and running. And Terry, the cable's arrived, so I'll be working on that this afternoon. So, yeah, that's pretty much it from me, really. Beautiful sunny day down here. Let me just give you a temperature reading off the 22 degrees Celsius here at the moment. All is good. So I'll pass it back to you, and I'll stop waffling, and thanks for having me aboard. CL4 Ingram, back to Nate.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Norm. I didn't realize that you and Terry were reasonably close. I think he said 90 kilometers. So that's great. And I'm sorry that you're having problems. I can't envision really what it is, so maybe sometime off of next time you and I can chat. I'm running about 10 computers here in the household for this, that, and the other. And they're all running the latest revisions of Windows 10. Some are the home version and some are the pro version, but nevertheless, I haven't had any audio problems, anything close to what I was hearing coming out of you. So I'd be interested to see how you're configured someday and maybe learn something about what's going on. Okay, let me buy a nickel here. We're going to move on, guys and gals, to the next question on our subject matter this evening. And that simply reads, I understand that there are several different ways that these modes that we've been discussing use for one to get registered, and secondly, there are some differences in how the servers slash reflectors go about doing business. And I wonder if you gentlemen, as part of the roundtable expertise, can explain that to us. Generally speaking, the differences in the modes, particularly in the area of registering to get started, and secondly, how the their nodes actually work and how they differ from one to another. Roger, let me start with you. I'll pick you up, Robert, here subsequently if you're back with us. You can put something in the text box and say, hey, I'm back out of the hot water or whatever you were in. W4RFJ, KY6V, over.
Well, you're going to shoot me, Captain, because I put in the text box I needed a head break and I just put my headphones on. What are we talking about?
I'm sorry. I had a pop-up... Dell short window that was covering the text box. I didn't see what you put in. The question that we are now asking is that we understand there are several different ways that these modes that we're discussing tonight, Roger, use for one to get registered to get started, and secondly, there are some differences in how the server's reflectors for those particular nodes go about doing their business. Would you like to explain that to us in some manner? Over.
Well, I got to be honest with you. You know, it's kind of a mixed bag in this category. I don't know. I guess D-Star is probably the easiest to program. There's several different interfaces. However, there are new concepts that you have to understand first, you know, getting the CCS7 number, which used to be a CCS3 number. And I guess the one thing that I'd like to add is that there's constant changes, even in the past few years, that I've gotten re-involved or I've gotten involved with digital FM or digital... these digital modes. But with D-Star, you can talk to your local repeater, another repeater, or even a reflector which acts like a conference room, so to speak. And you can have 10 or hundreds of repeaters connected to it, or even an individual person. It sounds complex and complicated, but one thing you understand is that there's a gateway that you can attach to get through to other repeaters and or whoever you're talking to. And it may sound simple, but it's kind of complicated because there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that the normal operator doesn't really see what's going on. And I think that's what makes it confusing. Let me grab a nickel. Captain, do you want me to continue, or do you want to give somebody else a chance to add?
No, let's hold it right there for the moment, Roger. Let me pass it over to Dennis and David for their input, and then we'll recircle the group. RRN, Indiana, how say you out there, Dennis, about the question that we're currently handling?
Okay, KY6V in the net, KB9RRN. Yeah, that is a good question, and one that I can answer, at least in terms of P25 and DMR used for amateur radio. And I'm fairly well versed in both of these. I take care of a Part 90 or a commercial DMR system on UHF. I maintain that, so I get to use all the fun Motorola toys. And my DMR radio is actually an XPR7550E. It's not mine. It belongs to my employer, but I get to use it, so it's really nice. I can put all my ham stuff in there. And then I guess we're pretty fortunate, more fortunate here in central Indiana than some other places, sounds like, because David was saying he doesn't have any DMR repeaters up there. We've got DMR and P25 repeaters on ham radio around here. Mostly everything's on UHF. But anyway, that's besides the point. Let me get back on track here. What we're talking about is getting registered. Let me take a quick standby here, let things reset. KB9RRN for South Cars continuing. So what we're talking about is getting registered. And the question was, well, how do we get registered? Those of you that are here on Echolink are kind of familiar with the whole Echolink validation process. Obviously, they want to make sure not just anybody gets through. It's a little bit different for the digital modes, and the two, like I said, that I'm most familiar with are P25 and DMR, because I use both of them every day. Both of them, you can get a radio ID issued to you through a site called radioid.net. That's radioid.net. And in my world, radio IDs are real important, because the mission critical stuff I maintain for my department, everybody has to have a unique radio ID, because that's just the nature of the system and how it works, especially on a P25 trunking system. If two radios have the same ID, you can get all kind of headaches. It's just no good. Not quite as serious on the amateur side of things, especially when you're talking conventional modes, but you do want to have that radio ID out there, so when people see your radio ID come up when you transmit, it is a valid radio ID, and they can then cross-reference that to the database there on radioid.net and see who it is. So I've got actually two radio ID numbers that I have been issued through radioid.net. My first one is in my P25 mobile in my car, and it's also in my DMR portable. And then the second one is only in the P25 radio here in the house, which I very seldom use on P25, but I do listen to it quite a bit. So that's what I can tell you about registration as far as DMR and the P25 systems go. And I heard Roger mention CCS7, and I do believe that there is some tie in there with D-Star, but I'm sure that there are others that are much more knowledgeable than me on that, so I'm going to let people that actually know what they're talking about say what the relation is. So, Gordon, we'll toss it back to you, let you carry on with it. KB9RRN, back to KY6V for South Cars.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Dennis. KY6V here for the TIN for South Cars. Let me ask you this. Can you have the same radio ID assignment for both P25 and DMR? In other words, the same registration number for both? Or do you have to have a different one for each one? Over.
Well, if you have to have different ones for each, I'm in trouble because I'm using one of mine on both P25 amateur network and the Brandmeister DMR network. I would say it's probably okay to use the same radio ID on more than one network, but you know you want to make sure that you know if you're in a conventional environment, meaning non-trunked, it's not such a huge deal. I mean, theoretically, I guess you could have five DMR portables all with the same radio ID number, and as long as you're only using one at a time, with duplicate radio IDs, you can get into signaling issues, like if somebody sends you a text message or something like that, which DMR can do, by the way, or a private call or something along those lines. There could be some issues there. If you have the same radio ID in two radios, both of those radios will activate any specific, selective messaging functions if it's sent to that radio. But generally speaking, it's probably okay. If there's a rule against it, I'm not aware of one. So I hope that answers the question. KY6V, KB9RRN.
Yeah, it certainly did. Thank you, Dennis. KY6V here. Well, is there any roadblocks if one just goes in at the start and gets a different number, let's say one number for Fusion or for P25 and one number for DMR, whatever the case is, and just run with it that way? Is there any stall factor that somebody has to know about doing it that way?
Well, not that I'm aware of. I do, like I said, I use one radio ID. Actually, it's the radio ID that's in my DMR portable. I also use that radio ID on my P25 mobile. Now, I do believe that, there may be some, they don't want to just pass out radio IDs, because there is a certain scheme to the way they're passed out, and I think there is some limitation on how many an individual can get without a special condition. So if somebody needs a bunch of different radio IDs, they kind of have to justify it, and, then I'm sure they'd be available, such as somebody that's running a repeater network or something like that. But I think for the average user, one or two, I'm sure would be more than sufficient. But having, the more and more you get into, the more you're going to take up of the total available pool. And believe it or not, it is a finite pool. There are limitations inherent in the systems themselves that, do provide an absolute minimum and an absolute maximum, and that's one of the issues we also run into with implementation of large P25 trunking systems for public safety. Depending on, not so much with P25, but with the older Motorola systems, we did have a big limitation there. We could only have up to 65,000 radios on a system, and that may sound like a lot, but once you deploy a system over a whole state, you run out pretty quick. So it doesn't affect us too much in the ham world, but that is something to think about. Gordon, back to you. KY6V, KB9RRN.
Well, it's really strange that you mentioned that, Dennis. And it was a good point, too. I looked at the numbers that were assigned through the radio ID, and I said, boy, there's not a lot of digits involved there. And then you come up and say, you can't get any more than 65,000. Holy mackerel, Andy. You're just a little bit short of the number of ports available on your computer, Dennis, and I'll leave it at that. How about you, David? Any comments on this subject? KB9EWG, KY6V, over.
Well, Gordon, as Dennis said, I had to go through the radioid.net there to register for a DMR number. course, then you got to wait for the approval till they email you back and give you your number and all that, assign your number. And also, when I got on a D-Star, I had to, I downloaded the Peanut app. Then I had to, just like registering for an EchoLink account, I had to register with the Peanut, get the approval from there. Plus, I had to apply for a D-Star number from D-Star, so, which I did. And seemed like I got approval faster from D-Star than I did from Peanut. Than I did from D-Star, so that was actually two different places I had to register. One, I had to register the app, then I had to register for an actual D-Star number, but now that I've got both, I can use them both there, so. There is a different registration process there, and they said each one has their own. KY6B from KB9EWG.
Yeah, okay. Just clarification here. In your case, you have two separate numbers for what you're doing, is that correct?
Well, there is a registration number for using the Peanut app for D-Star. Then there is actually the registration from D-Star, which is a separate number from the DMR number that I have there. So, yeah, it's the DMR and D-Star are separate numbers there. KY6V from KB9UWC.
Okay, and one last question, David. Who was the slowest of the two? Was that D-Star was faster getting back to you, or DMR was?
I think DMR was actually quicker. It's like I applied and checked my email like 10 minutes later, and I had a DMR number assigned to me. So it all depends on when somebody gets on there and sees your email and approves you. You know, of course, I got to verify your legitimate ham and all that. And, you know, basically the same verification process as like EchoLink or other voice over IP modes here on amateur radio. KY6P from KB9EWG. And that was my phone that time telling this through that, not my radio. I got a text message coming through my phone there. KB9EWG.
Yeah, well, the boing is not as loud. Okay, very good, David. Thank you. KY6V here for South Cars. Any audience participation at this point? Anybody like to check in? Any questions? Any comments, please call. Over.
M6GSN.
ZL4NORM.
Okay, I got you, Norm, and I wasn't quick enough on my pencil transaction. Who was the first station to try?
Sorry about that, Gordon. Mike 6, Golf Sierra November.
Golf Sierra November. Good. Nice audio, sir. And I've got you, Norm. Anybody else? Okay, let's go to GSN. Good evening. From across the puddle to you, sir.
Yeah, good evening, Golden. Good evening, everyone. Just to give you a bit of a breakdown on the DMR ID and the reason why there's only a finite amount of numbers that you're given now is that the first three digits of a the first three digits of a caller's DMR ID is actually based on their country location. So I think mine starts with 234, and then, because I'm in England, and then, you know, in America it'd be something else, Australia would be something else, so, I actually, when I got my, applied for my, I've got D-Star through Peanut, and I've also got one of the MMDMV dongles, which you've currently got positioned nicely on your homepage, and, I actually applied to ICOM UK, they've got a repeater in Kent for permission to use the D-Star network, and I got received back in about 30 minutes. So yeah, it's good. With the registration for D-Star, and that's not many people that's mentioned it, it's a bit more complex. D-Star, as far as of the two that I've done, you actually have to get in touch with your local repeater group. Or, for my case, it's a case of I thought, you know, ICOM based in the UK, they've got repeaters, they've got the D-Stars on there, so I thought, get in touch with them directly. So yeah, with D-Star, you've got to be, it's not like centralised with DMR through radio ID or the European, African, Asian version It's more simpler. Back to you there, sorry, I've got the control sign. Back to you there, Chief.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that, sir. I want to get into that, if time permits, a little later in the program, too, about talking about registering through a local repeater as opposed to trying to register direct. I'm still a little foggy on personally how that works, but we'll get that in time. And I appreciated your comments on how the registration number is laid out as well. Okay, let's go back to Norm in. If you're south of Terry, you must almost be in the water, Norm. Go ahead, sir. KY6V.
Yes, at 04NRM. I'm Amber Nelson, the net. Well, I'm 150 meters off the water, so not too much. No, I can see it standing here at the window. I can see it clear. It's not too bad out there, actually. There's a wee bit of surf on the beach, but not too bad at all. Yeah, and if my weather station's working and my webcam, if you jump on my QRZ page, the link on there to it, if you want to see what it's like. But, yeah, what I was saying is I did have a attempt at getting peanut up and running on my phone, and I did apply for a C4, I think it's C4 FM, you have to apply for an ID or whatever. I've just followed all the links on the website. Did all that about a month ago and still haven't heard anything, so I just got busy and never got around to following it up. But, yeah, I haven't heard anything in a month, so obviously something went wrong there in the registration process. Otherwise I would have had it running by now. But too many other things to do at the moment to get around to chasing it up again. But yeah, I didn't find the registration process easy at all. It's very confusing. So I had one crack at it, and still haven't heard anything. It's been at least a month since I did it, so who knows. CL4NRM, maybe you can enlighten me there.
See, that's awful, Norm, having to wait for a month and still not having it. It's like something fell out of the bit bucket along the way. I don't know if you can go ahead and try a retrial on the submittal or just how that works, but good luck on that one. Okay, let's see. Before we go any further, Robert, did you get back with us? VK2DY down there in Australia, or did the kangaroos get you? Over.
Yeah, Gordon, I'm back finally. My Wi-Fi died, and then when I tried to get back on cellular data, it wouldn't get back on. It wouldn't log on, wouldn't log on, wouldn't log on. Anyway, I'm back now. Thanks, VK2DY.
Oh, well, nice to have you back. Okay. So I imagine you missed a good portion when you were going through the gymnastics that you were going to. I won't back up on that, but did you hear anything that you'd like to comment on at this point? Over.
I pretty much missed the whole thing, unfortunately. I just got back about 2 minutes ago. Finally, Echolink let me come in and let me get into ham conference. So I've missed the whole thing. I don't know what was said and what wasn't said. VK2DY.
Well, I can tell you to start with that we weren't talking about you behind your back, so that, you know, everything is good there. All right, Robert. Well, I'm going to continue then, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you, so stand tall right there. I'm going to give the next question here, and I'm going to pick you up first and then pass it on to the other guys, because I also know that you would be excellent to answer this next one. And that question reads, ladies and gentlemen, there are some new names being used in these modes that we're discussing tonight. Would you, experts, please explain the meaning behind some of the items, such as Hotspot, DV Mini, DV Mega, DV Dongle. Anything else you want to throw in the hoop? VK2DY, you want to start that one? KY6V.
Yeah, okay, Gordon, sure. Well, obviously, hotspots and dongles are the two most common ways now to get into the digital modes. Looking the other night, actually, it was interesting, and there were probably three or four times as many people on some sort of computer devices that were coming in through RF. So they've been taken over by digital modes. DD dongle is a device that can be plugged into a USB port, either in a computer or in your phone. I run on a Galaxy Note, I run a dongle plugged into my USB port on that phone directly, and then I run DV Blue DV Ambi, and I'm able to talk on DSTAR and DMI directly through the dongle. But the dongle, basically, the only real purpose of the dongle is to contain the Ambi codec, which is the codec that all of the digital modes use. And it is heavily copyrighted. The expense to get a software version of the Ambi copyright is about $100,000, if I know the number right, whereas getting it on a chip is, you know, dollars. So everybody runs it off of a chip. But at any rate, a hotspot is a way, is a computer interface. It's sort of the next step beyond a dongle in that it allows you to use a radio to talk to talk on a digital mode by talking. It's sort of like having your own repeater in a way in your house. You get access to the digital mode. Let me reset for a second. Yeah, it's like having a repeater in your house. You transmit on your frequency, and you talk to the hotspot, and the hotspot talks to the digital modes on the internet. And so it's a way to sort of make it real radio, I guess, if you don't like using a phone or a computer. anyway, I'll leave those two and pass it on to the next person. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for that, Robert. KY6V here. Two quick questions. On the DV dongle that you're using, can you run two of the modes simultaneously? In other words, can you connect to the DMR system and also connect to a DSTAR system? And then switch back and forth, or can you only do one at a time? So that's question number one. Question number two, on the DV dongle, do you have to manually activate the transmit side, push to talk, or will the DV dongle activate itself if it hears incoming audio? You care to feel those over?
Very interesting questions. I just try to touch my screen the way I do on the digital modes. Anyway, well, one thing is cross mode. I'm not sure I've ever heard of cross mode on a thumb, on a DV dongle. I know that hotspots are the way to do cross mode. People are using them to go DSTAR to DMR. But I'm not sure about cross mode on a dongle. I have never tried it because I've always been using the computer to get in. So it's sort of one of those things that it's not the way I've been doing things. I'm sorry I can't answer that question. And the digital modes, there's got to be a setting, I would think. You caught me on two questions that I'm not real good at. To do Vox operation, I'm sure there is. Again, I don't do Vox because I have too much background noise, and if I activate it, it will catch the background noise and transmit more often than I care to transmit. VK2DY.
Yeah, well, that obviously makes sense. All right, KY6V here. Well, I don't want to hold up the net, but I wasn't really referring to cross mode in the true respect of cross mode. I was wondering Will the dongle allow you to be running two connects at the same time, one DMR, one D-Star, and that you would just switch back and forth to the one that you wanted to use at the moment? I guess the similarity would be something like a browser screen with multiple tabs. Robert, over.
That's an interesting question. I've always just switched modes when I want to go to a different system, but I can see where it would be helpful to listen to multiple systems at a time and switch between them. Sort of like a dual band radio, even, actually. But unfortunately, that's one thing I've never tried, VK3DY.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not there yet to try it, but I'm going to. Thank you very much, Robert. How about you, Roger? We're talking about the explanation of hotspots, DV minis, DV megas, TV dongles, and whatever else you want to put in the hopper. KY6V to W4RFJ.
Well, you know, that Robert guy down in Australia, he's so efficient that really he's taken all the thunder that I can think of, but I would like to share that I have been playing around with hotspots, and mainly due to the fact that in my travels I've noticed that repeaters are not as readily available as they are in, you know, highly populated areas. However, having a hotspot is like having your own little repeater right there in the vehicle with you, and utilize my cell phone network to access the different reflectors and stations, etc., etc., etc. And I don't have to worry about getting permission to do it. Sometimes, you know, when you're using somebody else's repeater, you know, they don't want you reprogramming that bad boy. So that's just something to think about. And they make them so small, and they take so little power, and really doesn't use up much data, that they've become very portable. I can run one on days on a portable battery. So I hope I was able to add something there, Captain. And literally, you can do any mode with a single device, a single access point, per se. Only one at a time, though. Back over to you, Captain, W4RFJ in the group.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to sit back and think about your last comment one at a time. So it is typical with a hotspot that you're running one mode at a time. You can't get the hotspot to run two systems simultaneously, right?
Well, that's kind of the point. It goes into what I call what do they call it on a scanner when you go into scan mode? It, like if you're connected to a reflector on D-Star, you're connected to some port or whatever they call it on DMR. You know, you can have them connected in several different places in several different modes, but it'll kind of scan to see if there's any activity. And if any activity happens on DMR, it'll send out the DMR data. So if you have a DMR radio on, you can hear it. And if you wanted to, you could actually transmit in DMR and talk to them. Same thing goes with D-Star and Fusion and P25 and the other modes they have in there I have no clue of. But literally, it becomes a scanner, so to speak, and it will lock on. Let's say if you're monitoring and you're talking to a guy on D-Star and you unkey, and before, well, there's a timer you can set so you avoid this, but if the timer was zero and somebody on D-Star came in, your D-Star radio would be squawking because that's the data that's coming through, if that makes sense.
Oh, it certainly does. Okay. Well, thank you for that. I would have been hard pressed to come up with the word scanner, but that you know, or simile thereof, that really shows you the picture. Okay, thank you, Roger. Dennis, how about you, sir? Mr. Indiana, KB9RRN, KY6V.
KY6V in the net from KB9RRN. Yeah, good topic. And, boy, that was kind of a segue onto one of the other topics, but we'll get to that when we get to it, I'm sure. And that is the flexibility. But another device I wanted to throw in the mix is the MMDVM, or multi-mode digital voice modem. And this is a very interesting implementation, very interesting device. Not so much from a single user standpoint, but from a repeater or a system operator standpoint. I have seen the MMDVMs. It's a small board. It can fit in. It can fit inside a repeater quite easily. I've seen MMDVMs interfaced with the Yaesu System Fusion repeaters to enable multi-mode digital voice. So they can get them to do analog, P25, DMR out of a Fusion repeater. This is with some, you know, modifications and interfacing the MMDVM. I also have a friend up here that is real big into DMR. He's one of the proprietors, if you say, of the Hoosier DMR network. And he is currently working on interfacing an MMDVM into a Motorola MTR-3000, which will provide analog, has the capability to provide analog, P25, DMR, and probably some other mode capabilities, depending on what the system operator chooses to enable. So you can actually have machines out there that are capable of multiple digital modes in one station, as well as analog FM. So that's something to keep in mind too. If you've got one of these MMDVM repeaters in your area, they're really neat and very flexible. Gordon, we'll ship it back to you. KY6V, KB9RRN.
I'm going to have to look that up and do some reading on the subject. That's very interesting. Thank you for that, Dennis. KY6V here. Do they make a dongle in the form of that MMDVM? Over.
I honestly can't answer that. I don't know. The only implementation I've ever seen or really been interested in is the repeater implementation. You know, because I've got a repeater myself, and I got a couple buddies that have repeaters, and that stuff, the station stuff, kind of interests me more than the individual user. But I would say, from a single user standpoint, a dongle or a hotspot is probably more usable than something like the MMDVM host. You know, the implementations I'm familiar with are more geared towards the repeater type environment or the base station type environment. So, you know, just somebody that's looking to get into different digital modes and be able to do it by way of a dongle or a hotspot, that would probably be your best bet, and you know, probably be the most, give you the most flexibility, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it most certainly does. Okay. Thank you very much, Professor. Let me move it up to Wisconsin and see what he'd like to contribute on this. David, EWG, please. Go ahead.
Hey, sorry about that. I was having a problem with my radio came up here. Anyways, yeah, as Dennis was talking about the MMDVM, that's a board that you'll find on a lot of these hotspots. My hotspot, and I think it's probably the same one that that Chief has, is a MMDVM board mounted on a Raspberry Pi Zero. And it uses software called PiStar, which is what drives this, which drives my hotspot. And yeah, my hotspot is powered by a USB plug-in. And as Roger had mentioned before, it draws very little power. I have a little 10,000 milliamp battery that I can carry with me, that solar charge I can carry with me to take the PiStar with me when I go out mobile. And the hotspot is basically connected to the internet through a Wi-Fi link, and it has an antenna, which is a UHF radio. I think it only puts out like 10,000 milliwatts or something like that, or 10 mil, you know, it's a very little power on the output of the UHF radio side. It's just like, you know, it's like 10 milliwatts, whatever it is. But it's enough that, you know, you can be within a couple hundred feet of the your dongle and or your hotspot and be able to work the internet, you know, work on DMR. And as Roger said, I'll take my cell phone and tether my cell phone to the hotspot, and that's my whole portable setup. That's basically my repeater when I'm out running mobile. I can operate DMR anywhere that I can access the internet through my cell phone connection or a Wi-Fi connection. But yeah, it's the MMDVM board, as Dennis is talking about, that mine has. And that board is mounted on a Raspberry Pi Zero. It has a little OLED display to display the what's going on the hotspot there. KY6V from KB9UWG.
Very interesting. Well, thank you, David. I've made a note here to do a little more research. I'd like to get a little more knowledgeable on that MMDVM. Sounds like it's got a lot of things that I might be interested in, at any rate. Okay, well, before we get into some meaty-type questions here, let's see what we've got from the audience. Looking for additional check-ins, questions, or comments, please call KY6V. Over.
KY6V, KY6V. This is N5XCX with the question. XCX with the question. Over.
Well, hello, Mount Dora on the Plains. Is that the way to put it? Go ahead with your question, Woody, and good evening, KY6V.
I bet you didn't know that Florida had foothills. And if you look on my Echolink there page, it'll say the foothills of Mount Dora, you know. And some people get a little giggle out of that. Some people take offense at that remark. What can I say? But, you know what I say if they can't take a joke, right? Okay, anyway, my question is, can I get a dongle or something like that, like the hotspot through Amazon, you know, with something that's already been put together? Because obviously I can't put together a Raspberry Pi or something. But are there companies out there through Amazon that put those together for you and that you can buy already made up? Over.
Well, I think I could probably answer that without passing it to the round table. The question is, or the answer is yes. There are dongles available, as an example, that can be purchased from a number of vendors. Amazon supports it, Gigabytes supports it, and so on and so forth. These dongles are like flash drives, I guess is the way to put it. They just plug into your USB port on your computer, Woody. And then you go from there and you use your computer. You don't even need a radio. You don't need a DMR radio. You don't need a D-Star radio, a Fusion radio, etc., etc. You use the microphone that comes with a computer. You use the sound card in the computer. You use the dongle to do the transaction between the digital and the analog conversion and the proper decoding and encoding and so on and so forth. depending on which one you get, they range in price. You can get a, let me buy a nickel here. And I'm not in the advertisement business, so don't take anybody take me this way. There is a dongle called a DV dongle, DV strip 30, that will give you three of the functions that I know of. It'll give you DMR, it'll give you D-Star, it'll give you Fusion, and I've seen them priced for anywhere between $129 to about $149, and Amazon is one of the several that handle distribution on that. Did that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, it sure does. Thank you very much, Gordon. I say Amazon because I've got a little kickback deal through Amazon, and I guess I could go through Gigaparts or whatever, you know, to somebody said HRO did something like that also, and whatever. But by the way, speaking of Gigaparts, you know that they've got a contest running where they will give away, I think, a VHF, UHF transceiver, and something like that. But anyway, thanks a lot for the information there. That gave me something to go on. That would be a little cheaper, I think, than buying a radio, especially since most of the time the radio would only have one mode, such as D-Star or something like that. And I haven't decided which is my favorite program yet. Last week on my net, I did a little straw poll and, found out amongst Echolink users that more ham operators like D-Star better than the other ones, But who knows? This is N5XCX, and that's just a little information. Y'all have a good evening.
Okay. Well, good luck on that, Woody. KY6V here. I'll tell you that our SouthCars website, in the live arena on the front page, left sidebar, the current question this week is asking our membership as to which of the modes they most prefer out of the selection of DMR, D-Star, Fusion, and P25. So it's the same thing you're doing, and we're doing it on our website. The jury's still out. I don't know what the answer is yet at this point. Okay, anybody else that would like to check in before we go ahead with some more questions? We're going to try to cut down the questions here pretty quick. We're 20 minutes into the second hour. KY6V, any check-ins?
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Oh, my goodness gracious and sakes alive. Hello, George. Mr. Orange City, go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, Gordon, a year or so back, I purchased a Whistler scanner, TRX-2. Now, it come loaded up with a P25, and there's a free software update for DMR, and for the past couple months I've been thinking about the idea to hook everything up to the laptop and go that route there. And since y'all talking about different programs, you know, I've got a receiver, pretty good one, you know, so a dongle here or there seem like I would have a transmitter. To those in the group who knows, it's time to play games again.
George, you and I have known each other for so long, we've never stopped playing games. I don't know what you mean about that last statement. TRX2, huh? That's interesting. I didn't know that scanners did that kind of thing. What's the roundhouse price to buy a TRX2, just for information?
Well, Gordon, you know how my memory is, but I think it was about 500, you know, maybe a few more or maybe a few less there, but it's what I've read on it, man, it'll just about pick your nose for you.
Well, for that price tag, I hope it'll put on the coffee in the morning too automatically. Thank you very much, George. Okay, let's move it on here. We are 23 minutes into the second hour and counting. The next question here, we're going to start shaving this down a little bit so we don't let the program run too long. We'd like to talk about the ease of programming. Your radios and equipment for these different modes that we're talking about tonight. And again, we're talking DMR, we're talking D-Star, Fusion, and P25. Now, I'm told that the D-Star is probably the easiest, followed by the DMR, and then followed by Fusion. And I guess I'm trying to find out if what I'm being told is correct. So what do you guys think? I'll start with you, Robert, VK2DY, KY6V.
Probably the easiest thing to use out of the box is D-Star. It's just there, it works, you can connect to everything. There's lots of people on it. Definitely just works out of the box. All the other modes take a little bit of touchy-feely stuff, and DMR and its code plugs will drive you mad. VK2DY.
Let me make sure I understood that. D-Star is a go out of the box and DMR drives you mad, is that right?
VK2DY. Well, in a sense it does. I mean, you do need to, the hotspots make it a whole lot easier to deal with the repeaters are confusing in fact in DMR for sure. So, yeah, definitely DMR is definitely easiest mode to deal with. D-Star is definitely easiest mode to deal with, VK2DY.
Yeah, okay, very good. When I get to you, Dennis, I want you to explain to me about code plugs. You know, we'll get to that when I get to you, but it's just another embellishment to the computer industry's dictionary that you can't catch up with anyway. W4RFJ, programming. You got enough radios up there to answer this question. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm in the middle of trying to pay attention here and trying to get my Raspberry Pi Zero to share the internet with, well, anyway, never mind. The code plug really is so simple it's hard. Let's put it that way. There's specific, you have limitation on memory banks and stuff like that, and literally you have to set it up as you got frequency information, you've got port numbers that I'm sorry. I'm trying to concentrate. Charlotte's on the phone over here, and I'm a little distracted. But anyway, yeah, the code plug is on DMR is kind of a little confusing until you start playing with it and putting it into your radio. You can let me grab a nickel. I think Dennis would probably be better to explain the code plug as, you know, literally you can set up a bank for, like, let's say I've got local repeaters here, and they have access to different, I don't even know what they're called right now, right off the top of my head. Anyway, back over to you, Captain. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Very good, Rog. Thank you, KY6V here. Well, Dennis, I'm going to let you pick that one up. My comment on the code plug was simply, here we come with a new term that we don't need. You know, for a long, long period of time, the world referred to something as a code plug as the configuration file. Now, why the heck do we have to change the name when it comes to DMR to a code plug? I rest my case. KB9RRN from KY6V.
KY6V in the net from KB9RRN returning. Well, Gordon, I think the reason behind that, the use of the term code plugs, and I just saw it come in my box, and that's absolutely true, goes back to the fact that you know, it's not a term that's been in the amateur radio lexicon very long. It's only really been a term that we've used on the amateur radio side of things since we've been playing with digital mobile radio or Moto Turbo. Two-slot TDMA, as it were. The term code plug has been around, though, in the land mobile radio industry for many years, basically, at least that I'm aware of, as long as there have been programmable land mobile radios. So back to the late 70s and early 80s when we start getting away from the old rock radios, the crystal controlled, you know, you had your channel elements. And then we started getting the synthesized radios. So, for instance, the Motorola stations, MSR-2000 was the last rock radio or crystal-controlled repeater station that Motorola made. And then the MSF-5000 began the journey into synthesized stations. And that's where you really start seeing the term code plug used, was when radios began to become computer programmed. Let me take a short break. So yeah, I would say the it originated with Motorola, and we only really started seeing it in the amateur lexicon since we've been using DMR, which primarily started you know, with the Motorola Amateur Radio Club and all Motorola gear. Now we see lots of different gear out there. And I will say this, as different manufacturers have come along and started gearing DMR gear, especially towards the amateur market, because it's very popular around here. There's probably more activity around here on DMR than there is on analog FM repeaters, because we do have a pretty good network here in Indiana, at least. And you know, manufacturers are responding to that. Anytone, for instance, makes a very good field programmable radio for DMR. Now, obviously, you know, to do more with it, you're going to want to hook it up to a computer and use the software, and you know, then you can have multiple configurations and build your files all custom and so forth. But you know, there are front panel programmable or, you know, field programmable DMR radios out there. Let me take a quick standby. As far as, you know, it is mentioned here in the in our notes that DMR would be in the low category, you know, depending on the type of radio you have. You know, me, I maintain a Moto Turbo IP Site Connect system on UHF Part 90, so, you know, 460 megahertz band. And I also maintain about 30... somewhere in the neighborhood of about 34, 35 subscriber units on that system. and you know, I've got a subscription to the Moto Turbo software for 3 years through Motorola, which gives me all the latest firmware updates and everything. So it's a heck of a deal. You can't beat it, I think, to have the legal software, because a lot of people are out there, you know, trying to get illegal software and all this sort of thing, and it's just not, you know, I don't play those games. So if you want to do a Motorola radio, that's definitely the way to do it. A lot of your other manufacturers, you know, such as your Anytones and your, there's several other manufacturers out there. Their software is cheap and or free. So just depends what you got. But I'm quite familiar with the programming of DMR, but, you know, I started programming, like I put in the text box a little while ago, I started programming the GRE line of scanners about 10, 11 years ago, and that's kind of where I learned my object-oriented. And if you're familiar with object-oriented, things become very easy. So, let me take another quick standby here. The last thing I wanted to mention, because we haven't talked about it much, is P25 programming. Basically, unless you've got a front panel programmable radio, like a Motorola XTS 5000 or something, with that very rare FPP option, well, not very rare, but it is somewhat rare, you got to have the software to do it. The radio I use on P25 is actually a Vertex VX7200, which is an analog and P25 conventional UHF radio. And, of course, you know, before Vertex standard was bought out and basically obliterated by Motorola, you know, you had the software for that was available very reasonably from directly from Vertex or through a dealer. But once again, that's an issue of strictly software programmable only, because I'm not aware of any amateur radio that's geared towards P25. It's all commercial and primarily public safety. So I'll let somebody else take it for a while. I've talked long enough. KY6V, back to you. KB9RN.
Yeah, we'll stand by here in just a moment or so. I heard a couple of key ups there from the ham conference. Well, thank you for that, Dennis. You know, your last comment made my ears stand up a little bit, too, because that's what I've noticed, that the ham manufacturers, the manufacturers that are producing ham gear, have not really got in, that I know of, into the P25, and it's all commercial. Now, I may be wrong on that, but at least I haven't seen anything or aware of anything coming out of the ham side of things in supporting that. And as you say, you know, it's primarily for emergency-type communication. Okay, did we have somebody trying to... I'm going to turn it over to you, Dave, so stand tall. Did I have somebody trying to get in on the ham conference, please? Okay, hearing none. I'm not sure this last question on programming fits you very well at this point, Dave, but what are your comments? Because I know that you're concentrating primarily with DMR and just getting into D-Star. Is that correct? Over.
Yeah, that's correct. I have really no experience at all programming anything D-Star. Everything you know, and D-Star that I use on Peanut is in there, so there's no programming. It's just a matter of downloading the software and registering and getting on there. Couple things I do want to mention with the code plugs. I'm trying to get a handle on writing code plugs. Getting a little bit better with it. The code plug I'm actually using right now was wrote by M6GSN for me. Bear in mind, the radio I have will store 3,000 channels and 100,000 contacts. And it's divided up into zones. And the radio is both analog and digital. VHF and UHF. So, you know, the radio has quite a bit in it. So there's a lot, you know, to write into a code plug when you write, you know, you can add up to 100,000 contacts. Like I said, and these contacts could be, you know, let's say you keyed up on there. Instead of me seeing your DMR number, it actually give me your name and your call sign. You know, if you're stored in my radio as a contact. And like I said, I store 100,000 contacts in this radio and 3,000 channels worth. So, you know, basically a code plug is just, you know, the programming, you know, what you program into the radio. All the analog stuff, all the digital stuff, all the talk groups, you know, the contacts in there and everything else is all part of the code plug as it's written there. And in the process of these code, writing these code plugs, you can get shortcuts from other sites to, you know, you can get the download add-ons of the contacts and such that way. So, and once you start getting a good handle on it, it gets easier and easier. I'm starting to get a little more understanding on it there, but it's still a lot to a code plug to write, especially for the first time out of the box there. KY6T, I hope I haven't confused you too much. KB9UWG.
No, not at all, David. Thank you. KY6V here. All very interesting. Well, let me ask here before we continue. Any comments from the audience, please? Anybody would like to check in for the first time or have additional questions or comments, please call. Over. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to suggest here, and I'm going to get one more question going. We are now 40 minutes into the second hour of the program, and we still have an awful lot of material that we can cover. And I don't want to tie up everybody too long. We've talked about programmability. We want to talk to about connectability, which mode gives you the most bang for the buck. We want to talk about user IDs and which modes are compliant to automatic FCC requirements. We want to talk about a little more depth of P25. We want to talk about flexibility. We want to talk about survivability and extendability. You know, there's a lot of things that we could really discuss. So what I'm going to suggest here, first let me buy a nickel, is that we take one more question and roll it up for tonight, and then decide amongst the panel, primarily, or any comments from the audience, whether we should consider a part two to this TIN and continue it at another subsequent session. Because I don't think we have the time to cover the material that we really have available for discussion. Okay, let me buy one more nickel. Let's talk about connectivity or connectability, and then we'll see how you guys feel about things. So which mode gives you the most bang for the buck, guys? And I'm talking about getting around the world. Flexibility on getting here and getting there as fast as you want, and the ability to get to wherever you want. Does that make sense? VK2DY, you want to take that one for starters? KY6V, over.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Robert, VK2DY again. I would say, well, DMR has the most users, but they're split over four systems. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. D-Star, oh wow, what gives you most bang for the buck? Good question. I'm really falling in love with D-Star. I've sort of walked away from DMR for a while, and I moved to D-Star because I'm just enjoying it. So I'm gonna say D-Star because there's only one D-Star system and everybody's in it, and there's some really good nets on it. VK2DY.
Yeah, very interesting. I appreciate that comment, Robert. Sometime in the near future, when it fits with you, I'd like to talk with you about your plans on getting either D-Star, DMR, or whomever into your ham's conference server. I'd like to know what your thinking is. Is it help me on my thinking? Would that be okay?
Yeah, sure. I don't think we tie up the net with that, but yeah, sure. We'd love to talk to you about it, VK2DY.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you, sir. Connectability. Mr. Jordan? Chief Jordan? Chief for short? W4RFJ, KY6V.
Well, I'm not partial to any of them. I think they all have their pluses and minuses. Still feel that I'm in a learning mode on all of them. As far as favorite, ease of use, once you get past the code plug, I think DMR is probably one of the easiest to use. I can plug my buddy's ID number and just type it right into the radio and go through my hotspot, and it'll come out his radio automatically. And I've done that on the fly, and it's worked 100% of the time. D-Star, there's issues with all that. But, you know, they all have their pluses and minuses, and I'm really on the fence between D-Star and DMR. How's that? Did I make it short and sweet enough? W4RFJ. And my dad was Mr. Jordan. I'm Chief.
Okay, Chief. Got you covered. Yeah. Plain and succinct. Thank you very much. How about you, Dennis? KB9RRN. Connectability. KY6V.
KY6V from KB9RRN for South Cars. Well, honestly, I'm partial to DMR because that's what I use the most, and that's what I'm the most familiar with. Honestly, I've never played with D-Star at all. Never been on it, never used it once. I will say this. You know, you can operate, there are DMR repeaters out there that operate in a standalone mode. You know, and then Motorola also, you know, if you're running a purely Motorola IP Site Connect system, you can build a network out of several repeaters that's just a network unto itself, and it's not connected to anything else. The Part 90 UHF system that I take care of and maintain is like that. It's got a total of 6 repeaters. Actually, 3 of them are shut off right now. I'm only using 3 because that's all I need for my coverage area. But, you know, it's its own self-contained DMR network. And, you know, you can do that on the handbands as well. So there are a couple other wider area servers out there. The one I'm most familiar with is Brandmeister. I'm actually a part-time control operator for a repeater on the Brandmeister network. And I can tell you that it is probably, at least from my experience, one of the more flexible ones. Let me grab a nickel. So Brandmeister DMR, going back to that, you know, repeater operators, and some of this is covered in the notes, but repeater operators do have their option of setting up static talk groups. So, for instance, here in Indiana, most of the repeaters, pretty much all the repeaters that are on a network all carry the Indiana statewide talk group. Now that is a static talk group on each of those repeaters, and that talk group actually transcends networks. So there's about 3 different DMR networks that I know of active here in Indiana, and that talk group goes across all of them. But as far as Brandmeister goes, a repeater operator can always choose a static talk group for their repeater, but with Brandmeister you also have PTT activated talk groups, or momentary talk groups, if you will. So when you key your radio up on a repeater on one of those talk groups that's not static, but it is a Brandmeister network talk group, it will route traffic for that talk group through that repeater for a set period of time. And then once you're no longer active, that routing will cancel itself out. The time will expire, and that talk group will not be on that repeater all the time. And the reason they do that is to save system resources, because you know there are only two time slots per repeater. We take another quick standby. Okay, KB9RRN for South Cars VOIP. The last one I wanted to talk about, because I've got a little bit of experience with it, is P25. I would say out of all the modes we're talking about tonight, P25, you know, I can't speak to system fusion because I don't know much about it at all, but P25, at least the modes I'm familiar with, is kind of in its infancy in amateur radio realm, at least around here. There's a group of guys here in Indiana that have primarily Motorola Quantar stations that they're using on UHF in Project 25 conventional mode. And right now they only have, I think, one talk group the way the system is set up, and all the repeaters are linked on that talk group all the time. And with P25 and the current conventional implementation that they're using, it's only one time slot. There isn't it isn't the phase two that they're talking about implementing, which is two time slot P25. That's a little bit different animal. But so that's more of in its infancy, and that is probably, again, probably the least flexible that I can think of. But DMR can be very flexible depending on the network that you're using. So hopefully that helps out, and I think having a part two of this would be a great idea, because we got a lot of stuff yet to cover. And I think it would be awesome to revisit in another session. So, Gordon, we'll turn it back to you. It's been a lot of fun. KY6V, KB9RRN for South Park.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dennis. And I've got your vote down on part two here. I'm going to be asking the others here shortly the same question. But a quick question for you before we part, and that is Brandmeister... is one of the major, from what I understand, reflector systems. And then there's the Motorola counterpart. I'm not sure if I recall exactly what it's called. Can Brandmeister, if you're using Brandmeister, will it talk to stations that are set up on Motorola, and can, if you're go into the Motorola reflector, can you talk to stations that are on the Brandmeister? In other words, are they cross-functional? Over.
Yeah, there are certain talk groups that are. There are certain ones that are. It depends on the talk group, and that's something you got to do your homework and do your digging on. You know, an example I gave during my last spiel here was the Indiana statewide talk group. In decimal format, it's 3118. But that talk group is actually it's a cross network talk group. So it actually goes across, you know, the several different DMR networks. So it is possible to do. I will say that not all talk groups, you know, cross over like that. But there are certain ones that the SysOps have made provisions for cross-network talk, and there is a means to do that. So it's not, once you're on one network, it's not like you can't talk to the others, but you pretty much got to know your network and know what talk groups it uses, and if you want to talk cross-network, you got to know which talk groups can do that. So hopefully that answered your question, sir. KY6V, KB9RRN.
Yeah, it sure did. Thank you, Dennis. Got to know what street you're on and which way you need to turn. life in a nutshell, I guess. All right, over to you, David. Any comments on connectability, number one? And also, if you'd be so kind, give me your vote on whether we should go to a a part two in the future. David, EWG, please. Over.
Okay, Gordon. Well, as far as connectability, you know, I say I just turn on my radio and I go through the hotspot there, so it connects pretty easily. If I want to get on D-Star, I get on, you know, bring up either the Peanut app either on my phone or my laptop here. And, you know, click the on, it's almost like connecting Echolink at that point there. Pick a reflector and click connect, and you're on. So, you know, both are pretty easily that way. I'm going to kind of put it like Roger did also. I'm still relatively new. The jury's still out. You know, I'm still learning all this. As far as vulnerability, like you were talking about before, if, you know, how robust it is, whatever. Well, since I have no digital repeaters in my area, none at all, and I'm relying purely on internet for getting on digital, either through my hotspot or through an app, you know, with the system here, it all falls down to how vulnerable the internet is. You know, if I lose the internet, I'm down. But the beauty with the with my TYT radio, that is a VHF, UHF, dual band, analog, and digital radio, so if everything's down, I can still go on analog on that radio and continue operating. So like I say, I don't really have a whole lot else to say on it, since there's no backup systems here on digital, other than, like I said, through the internet here, so hopefully that answers your question there. As far as whether I think we should have a part two or not, I think it's been a great net. A lot of good topics to discuss on it. I think we should continue with the part two there. KB9EWG, back to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, David. KY6V here for South Cars. All right. We've got two votes out of the four for part two. Before I ask the audience for any further comments, I need a vote from Robert and Roger. So VK2DY, your thoughts about a part two on this? Over.
VK2DY, yeah, definitely part two. VK2DY.
Okay, thank you, sir. W4RFJ, your vote, sir.
I'd like to say yes to phase two.
Roger, phase two, part two, be there, whatever. Thank you, Roger. Okay, guys, we're going to start winding it down. Are there any questions from the audience on anything that has been posed so far this evening? Is there anything that you would like that I haven't mentioned that we might be talking about in a part two version here? Anything specific that you would like to have us touch on or concentrate on with part two? If so, let us know now and we can do some planning on it. Any stations, call now, please. KY6V. Over.
Sierra United November.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All hands on deck. Stand at attention. The Admiral is aboard. Our net manager herself. I thought you'd probably have gone to bed. Go ahead, lady, at KY6V, over.
Well, no, I haven't gone to bed. I'm sitting beside my son here. I said I wanted to come in and say hi to everyone. I've been listening from the start. And I will tell you, this has been a super, super program. I have recorded it. And maybe Sean and I will listen to it. But I would definitely say a part two. And, Captain, you did a fantastic job tonight. Thought I'd tell you that. Just wanted to say hi to everyone from northern Michigan, where it is about 35 degrees and not too bad right now. So back to you. KY6D from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Okay, Kathy, great. Did you say 35 degrees right now?
That's what I said. That's both of our phones. What that is saying is 35 We had some really heavy fog this morning that didn't lift till mid-afternoon, and it's been melting. The 4 feet or 12 feet or whatever they had is melting. But it is about 35 right now.
Okay. Thank you for that. I had noticed when we first started the session here this evening that David over in Wisconsin, the other side of Wisconsin from Lake Michigan, but nevertheless about the same latitude that you're at, you and Sean, is he was at 49 and I was reading 35 at that point on my weather prognosticator covering Calcasta up there. Okay, Sean, take care of that lady. I know she's your mother, but she's my wife. I think we're all set. Anybody else before we have the fat lady sing, please? KY6V, over.
Romeo Fox Juliet.
Yes, sir. And hello to the Admiral. Go ahead.
Oh, the Admiral's over here snoozing. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that Miss Sunshine up there, you know, I've missed her voice, and she just put me at ease jumping in here and saying hello. So I wanted to make sure she got a big hearty hand salute. I spelled it wrong the first time in the text box, but I made up for it the second time. Anyway, Captain, thanks for letting me jump in and wave hi to your wife and Sean's mom. How's that?
Anytime, Tiger. Thank you, Roger. Okay, anybody else before we close, please? Okay, David, get your finger ready on the stop button on the recording. I'll do the same thing on this end. This has been SCARS, VOIP net schedules and general information. May be found on the scarsvoip.com website. Your net control for this session has been KY6V, along with our friends on the board, saying 73s and closing this VOIP session. Thank you for your participation. This net is now closed, and stay tuned for information on Part 2. KY6V, clear.